This time, friends, I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to John, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I will be reading verses 15 to 31. However, verses 16 to 18 will be my sermon text for this morning. Let us now hear the word of the Lord. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask of the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. I encourage you, dear friends, to keep your Bibles open as we look at God's word together. Troubled, saddened, unsure, hopeless, fearful, just a few words that the disciples felt at that time. At chapter 13, verse 33, listen to what Jesus says. My children, notice the words, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. Troubled, saddened, unsure. Where is he going? And where he is going, can I go too? Makes us wonder then why Peter said, Lord, where you go, I'm going with you. Oh, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink, Peter? At chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus begins a new section of teaching here where he says, Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And this teaching of troubled hearts, saddened hearts, fearful hearts continues on through the end of chapter 16, verse 33, where Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. You will have troubled hearts. You will be persecuted. You will suffer pain, spiritually and physically. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And in this section of Scripture, in this context of chapters 14 to 16, we have sandwiched in here the Lord's teaching on the Holy Spirit. The Lord will depart. And he tells his disciples this, and they are saddened, but he promises them and he comforts them, saying, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you because I love you. And I will send you another counselor, another comforter, the Holy Spirit. So chapters 14 and 16 are in the context of disciples who are troubled and afraid because their Lord and Master said that he is leaving them. But he will come to them. And in these verses, in this passage, Jesus comforts us. He comforts his disciples with three things. He comforts them with a promise. He comforts them and us with the presence. And he comforts them and us with the person of the Holy Spirit. The promise, the presence, and the person of the Holy Spirit. Look with me in your Bible at verse 16 again, please. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Last week I preached on 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. Where the Apostle John says, my dear children, using the same language as Jesus uses in John chapter 13. Children, my children. The Apostle John says, I write this to you so that you will not sin. If anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. We have an advocate, a counselor, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The word advocate or paraclete is one who pleads another's cause before a judge, a counsel before defense. And Jesus Christ is our counselor at God's right hand, interceding for us in heaven. He is in heaven, pleading our cause before the Father. In our passage this morning, John chapter 14, 16, John uses the same word referring to the Holy Spirit. Advocate, counselor, some translations say comforter or helper. To those who love and obey Christ, and we can only love and obey Christ through faith in him, we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And when we trust in Christ, the love of Christ dwells in us and we obey all that he has commanded us. But when we sin, we have one who sits at the Father's right hand who pleads our case and we are forgiven. But here the counselor, the Holy Spirit, is promised by Jesus Christ. Jesus promises another counselor who will help us on earth. Jesus Christ, the advocate, helps us in heaven. And then the other counselor, another counselor, the Holy Spirit, helps us on earth. Because the Holy Spirit continues the work of Jesus Christ on earth by glorifying the crucified and risen Savior in the lives of his people. Heaven and earth are covered by God. So then Christians have not one, but two counselors, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, sent by God the Father. Three persons, one divine being, one God. And please note what Jesus says. He says, and he will give you another counselor. And so the Lord Jesus Christ requests of God to give his people another counselor. And God the Father will answer the Son, and does answer the Son at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when he gives another counselor, the Holy Spirit. And now note, he says another counselor. The Holy Spirit is not the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit is not the Father. He is the third person of the blessed Holy Trinity. Different person, but he is the same kind of helper. We'll see how he helps in a few moments. But please look with me again at verse 16. Jesus promises that the Father will give another counselor. The promise of the Holy Spirit is a gift of God. The Holy Spirit is a gift of God given unto his people. Just as God gave his one and only Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall have eternal life. And he who does not believe in him shall perish. God gives his Son. Similarly, God gives us, his people, the Holy Spirit. Look with me at chapter 14, same chapter, verse 26. We read this earlier. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Chapter 15, verse 26. Next chapter. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And then chapter 16, verses 5 to 11, which we'll look at in a few moments. But this is the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus promises to give his people, to comfort them. Think about it. The disciples followed Jesus for maybe three and a half years. They heard him preach, teach, heal the sick. They saw the kingdom of God come in the King, Jesus Christ. He was their master and Lord, and now he says he will leave them. And they were troubled in heart and soul. And so who will lead, guide, encourage, strengthen, and comfort them? Jesus promises another helper who will indeed strengthen us in the faith. He will exhort us to obedience. He will encourage and comfort us in our weaknesses and trials with the precious promises of God. Acts chapter 9, verse 31 says, Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. That phrase, that verb, encouraged by the Holy Spirit, is the same word used here. Comforted by the Holy Spirit. Helped by the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you received the promised Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. The same power poured out upon the people of God at Pentecost is the same Spirit that dwells in us today and empowers us today to confess faith in Christ, to live for His glory, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. When will He come? When will the Holy Spirit come? Turn with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Verse 37 and 39. John 7, beginning at verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. The Lord Jesus Christ must finish, complete the work that the Father called him to in his earthly ministry. That is, he must first endure humiliation in his death on the cross for the salvation and the forgiveness of sins of his people. He must die and be buried. And on the third day, he was exalted in his resurrection and ascension. And so his earthly ministry was completed. And since Pentecost, the Holy Spirit continues the work of the crucified and risen Christ. Because Christ has been glorified to the right hand of the Father. And since he's been glorified, Christ sends the Holy Spirit that he promised. What does he promise? What does Jesus promise? Jesus promises the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's consider our second point. Look with me in your Bible again at verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That phrase there, but you know him, for he lives with you, can literally be translated, for he continually remains with you. He will always remain with you. And not only that, he will be in you. Future tense, referring to Pentecost, which has become a reality for his people now. These are comforting words by the Savior to us. In our deepest and darkest nights of the soul, when it's dark literally and spiritually and emotionally, the Holy Spirit helps and comforts. In a world of rebellion and sin, the Holy Spirit counsels, convicts, and guides us to repentance and faith. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and brings to remembrance to the Christian the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. He gives us the peace that the world does not know. Dear friends, how can parents of a 12-year-old girl who is dying of cancer be comforted in times of such pain and sorrow and trouble? How can families of Christian martyrs have hope in the Middle East and elsewhere? We often say, how does an unbeliever cope with loss, loneliness, and tragedy? If you're a widow or widower, you lived with your spouse for years, decades, and now you're alone. You're alone. And it brings great pain because a part of you was ripped out. Jesus says, for he continually remains with and will be in you. He says, I do not leave you alone. Though I go to the Father's right hand in heaven, on earth, I will send you another comforter, another counselor. And he says, I will not leave you as orphans. In the human experience, many children are orphaned. Fathers and mothers may leave children. Perhaps their parents may have died. Orphans were a very real experience in biblical times. It was prevalent. Widows were not kept. That's why James says, true religion is caring for widows and orphans and keeping one unstained from the world. Because orphans are most vulnerable and deprived of the most basic care and comfort from parents. Orphans feel alone and abandoned, forsaken. And so the disciples feel momentarily like they are orphaned, that the one who calls them children is leaving them, as a father may leave a child. But Jesus says, I do not leave you as orphans. I am with you forever. One commentator says, this passage shows what men are and what they can do when they have been deprived of the protection of the Holy Spirit. They are orphans, exposed to every kind of fraud and injustice, incapable of governing themselves, and in short, unable of themselves to do anything. They are most vulnerable. If the Holy Spirit did not dwell in us, we would be ravaged by Satan, deceived. We would not only be victims, but we would be the one who does injustice, the victimizer. Moreover, apart from the Spirit, we are incapable of loving and obeying Jesus Christ and knowing the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't have time now, but if you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where the unbeliever cannot comprehend the things of God. They are spiritually discerned apart from the Spirit. And the only reason why we understand the Bible in a spiritual way is because the Holy Spirit is present in us, leading us and guiding us in Scripture. As John Calvin once said, the Holy Spirit is the spectacle of Scripture. It is the eyeglass of Scripture, helping us understand spiritual truths and applying them in spiritual ways. Jesus says the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. By God's grace, the gift and presence of the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, lives in us. It is a gift of God. So what does the presence of the Holy Spirit mean for us, though? Yes, he is present. What does it mean for the Christian? Now, I can have a huge list of what it means, but to take it in the context of this passage, I'm going to give us three points of application for what it means to have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. First, just as Jesus prepares a home for us in heaven, the Holy Spirit prepares and makes a home in our hearts for the Father and the Son. Look with me at verse 2 of chapter 14. Verse 2. So at chapter 14, verse 2, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." So Jesus is preparing a place in heaven for us. Now look with me at the same chapter, verses 23 and following. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." And so through the presence of the Holy Spirit, God makes his home. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit make his home in us. Think about that. So not only is our home being made in heaven, it is being prepared right now in the present on earth by the presence of the Holy Spirit. For me, this is one of the most amazing teachings and realities of Scripture. Our Lord Jesus Christ assures the disciples and he assures us that his departure is for his glory and for our good. You know, many Christians may say, well, why doesn't Jesus just stay here? Why don't we see him? Why isn't he walking around earth right now? He had to fulfill his earthly ministry in order to pay for the sins of his people, to die for sinners, to rise gloriously, victoriously from the dead, and to sit at the right hand of the Father so that the Holy Spirit can be present in us at all times and in all places. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives assures us and comforts us that the Father and the Son lives in us through the Holy Spirit by faith in him. And as a result, Christians are temples of the living God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One author says, "Those in whom the Spirit comes to live are God's new temple. They are individually and corporately places where heaven and earth meet." How do you receive the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? Well, dear friends, this too is a gift of grace by God. We are all called to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know the love of God, you want to know the forgiveness of sins, you want to know the true God, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved from your sins. You will have a relationship with Christ. You will have a relationship with God. Because by faith alone, in Christ alone, we take hold of the promises of God. However, this too is a gift of God. The Holy Spirit causes faith to arise in our hearts. The Spirit turns our hearts toward Him, to confess His name, to repent. And we are reminded in Scripture that no one can call out Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, except by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so first, what does it mean for us? That the Holy Spirit prepares and makes a home in our hearts for the triune God. Second, like Jesus, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses and intercedes in prayer, goes between us and God in prayer, making sense of our prayers. Because of our sins, our prayers are weak. Do you ever find yourself struggling for words to bring to God? If you meet somebody who is struggling or going through personal crisis, and you know you need to pray for them, but you struggle with words, it's hard. It's hard. But the Holy Spirit intercedes. He makes sense of our words because He searches the deepest recesses of our souls and brings them before God. What do I mean? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, where the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses and intercedes for us. Romans 8, beginning at verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The Spirit intercedes for us because His presence is in us. There was a man, a pastor, who was leading a worship service, and he delivered his congregational prayer. He offered prayers to God on behalf of the congregation. And after the service, he was greeting people from the congregation back in the narthex area. And this one lady came up to him and said, "Oh, pastor, you really need to work on your pastoral prayers." "Oh, really? What's wrong with them?" Your vocabulary, your grammar, it's just, you just need to really work on articulating your prayers much better." And the pastor said, "Oh, thank you. I wasn't talking to you anyways." And so, but the idea there is that the Holy Spirit takes our weak prayers, intercedes on our behalf, and brings them before God. Third, the presence of the Holy Spirit comforts us and brings peace to the troubled heart, because He is our guarantee or down payment. There are many passages here, but Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14 says, "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory." Through faith in Christ, the promised Holy Spirit is present in the believer, guaranteeing that we are indeed children and sons of God, sons and daughters of the living God. It is because of the Spirit that we know we are His child, His children. And that is that guarantee that we belong to Him in both body and soul. And the blessings of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and the life everlasting are ours in Christ. The Spirit makes it known to us. And not only known to us objectively, because it is a fact, but subjectively, experientially. Well, Jesus promises the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is a person, because He is God. And so let's consider our final point, the person of the Holy Spirit. Look with me at verse 16 again of chapter 4 of John. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. He inserts in these verses a reality. The person of the Holy Spirit is a person and not an it, boys and girls. The Holy Spirit is not an inanimate object or simply a power, a force. Use the force, Luke. No, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. And Jesus calls him the Spirit of the Truth. In the Old Testament, the Father is referred to the God of Truth. In the New Testament, the Son is the Truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now Jesus is saying, the Spirit of Truth will be given to you and will dwell in you. In his very being, he is the truth. And he will reveal truth to his people. John 15, verse 26 says, when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance to the disciples all that Jesus had taught them. And they will proclaim that message. And many will record it in the Holy Scriptures, whom the Spirit will use. This Bible is given to us by the Spirit of Truth. John 16, verses 13 to 16 say, but when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak what was given to him by me. And so Jesus Christ bore testimony of the Father in his earthly ministry, and he spoke the words of his Father. The Spirit, too, takes the words of Christ and makes it known to his disciples. He makes it known to us. He speaks truth to us. If you're taking notes, 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Boys and girls, listen carefully. The Holy Spirit was given to us by God to guide us in God's truth and to transform us by it. You know, preaching, teaching, Bible studies, personal devotions, all necessary means by which God sanctifies us or sets us apart and draws us closer to Jesus, grows our faith. But all these things will fall on deaf ears unless the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and our hearts to see and hear what God is teaching in his word. I'm talking about more than an intellectual exercise. You could understand something intellectually. You can understand the Bible intellectually. I met with a gentleman who knew the Bible really well, and he knew it only as literature. But to discern it spiritually is another matter. And that is the work of the person of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. He must open our hearts. We may come to church in order to hear a good sermon and to tickle our intellectual curiosities, but we need to pray that the Spirit of Truth takes the truth that is heard from our heads to our hearts, putting feet to our faith. Otherwise, it's just knowledge. We need both knowledge and a heartfelt, passionate faith, knowledge in action. A pastor, a number of years ago, was asked to fill a pulpit in his country church. And he went there, and after preaching his sermon, he felt extremely discouraged because, not because of the response of the people, because he just didn't feel adequate enough. He had a really difficult week and didn't have time to prepare a sermon. So he thought his sermon was a bad sermon. And so he went home depressed. One day he was in his office that same week. And this one lady called him and said to him, "Pastor, I just want to let you know that I really appreciate you coming to preach at our church, because this week I wanted to do great harm to myself. I was contemplating suicide, but you said something in your sermon that God used, and the Holy Spirit changed my mind." It's not about the messenger. It's about the Spirit working through the Word, and He works through every one of us, applying it differently. And so then we pray. We pray that the Holy Spirit intercedes. We pray that the Holy Spirit works through our weaknesses so that His truth be firmly rooted in our hearts. It's about the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, applying the truths of God's Word, not only in knowledge, but to the heart, the entire being of man. Body, soul, spirit. Jesus promises the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives to comfort the troubled hearted, the troubled in heart. The person of the Holy Spirit lives with us and in us. And so when we walk through this wilderness called life, not as orphans, but in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, let us be reminded that He is with us. He is present. His person is present in us. The God of truth kept His word and powerfully poured out His word on the church in a unique way in Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And the effects of Pentecost are still going on. Throughout the history of the church to today, to always. And so, dear friends, go and learn what it means. Christians, go and learn what it means that we are temples of the living God. Go and learn what it means that the presence and person of the Holy Spirit continually and always is present with you and in you. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would apply this precious word to our hearts. That you would take what was spoken, O Lord, the weakness of what was spoken, and use it to your glory and honor. That your people may be edified and strengthened and encouraged in the faith. That those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ would turn to you in repentance and faith, so that they too may drink from the living water. Oh, Father, we pray that we would indeed go and learn what it means as Christians to have the presence and person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Teach us, O Lord, all of our days to bask in the beauty of the gospel, to bask in the beauty of your word, and may your Holy Spirit give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you would have us know and what you would have us do to your glory and honor. Amen.